Hello and welcome to Defiant Optimism, the inspiring podcast from Smiley Movement, where we talk to extreme fundraisers and the people who go above and beyond to raise money and awareness for an important cause. I'm Amy, your host. I'm the chief editor here at Smiley Movement, and I'm always amazed by the insane challenges some people do to give back. So today my guest is Annie Brooks, who has been on a mission to raise awareness of epilepsy since being diagnosed in 2012. Before lockdown in 2020, she started doing 12 challenges in 12 months to increase awareness of the condition, and has since completed an Ironman 70.3, a long course triathlon weekend, a half marathon, a Henley mile swim, among many other challenges. So welcome, Annie. Thank you for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having me on your podcast.
So rewinding back a bit then to 2019, you had an idea to complete 12 challenges in 12 months to raise awareness of epilepsy. Now, that is a huge thing to commit to, and was scuppered a tiny bit by lockdown, but I know you completed it now. Do you want to talk a bit about where that idea sort of stemmed from and what made you want to commit to this sort of like year-long challenge?
So I guess circling back to 2012, I guess, when I was first diagnosed. So before that, I had no idea of any different kind of epilepsy other than, you know, you'll have heard of grand mal's and tonic clonics, where people have something quite visual happening. And I had no idea before 2012 that there was any other kind of epilepsy. So I didn't know you could have a seizure, but it could be invisible to someone looking at you. I guess along the way, I realised that other people perhaps didn't know about it, and I had this platform and I could potentially help other people, whether they were going through diagnosis themselves or if they were family members or friends, that perhaps I could educate people a little bit. And I had an opportunity to do that. And so that's how the 12 in 12 challenges had come to. I'd got to a point in my, you know, I'd accepted the fact I had this condition and that it was going to be a lifelong condition, and felt comfortable talking about it. And I thought, let's just go for it. Let's show people that, you know, having this condition doesn't necessarily need to stop you from being active and having trying different things. Obviously, it is dependent on the condition, the person, you know, everyone's different with epilepsy, which I'm sure anyone would tell you. We all experience very different things, and, you know, it's doing what's safe for you. But yes, you know, I just wanted to start making people aware that there is this invisible disability, and it is epilepsy as well.
And when you committed to doing in 2019, when you came up with the idea of doing one a month, obviously, that is hard for anyone, let alone someone who has a condition where they might suffer a seizure. How did that sort of play out in terms of your planning or how you felt about going ahead with it? Did it make you more nervous or did it make you more determined to sort of go ahead and complete it?
A bit of a combination, I'd say. I wasn't actually nervous, because I picked things that I would enjoy as well. Or, you know, would give me a bit of a challenge, because I do love a challenge, and I like setting myself goals. It gives me a focus, and it also helps me not dwell on having this condition. And I think that was why I really enjoyed it. I also chose things that weren't necessarily just triathlons or running events or, you know, something that was kind of physical. I actually had a couple in there that were to do with sort of a mental thing for me. So for example, I used to live in Val d'Isère when I did a ski season, and this was back before I had a diagnosis of epilepsy. So I was experiencing seizures at this point where I didn't know what I was experiencing, to be quite honest. And I remember having a snowboarding lesson, and now I know that I had a seizure during the snowboard lesson. It sort of put a dark cloud, if you like, over ever snowboarding again. And as part of one of the challenges was to take a lesson snowboarding. And so that was something that was really big for me, because it's very easy when you have seizures to sort of avoid doing things, or being, you know, avoid things that situations again that you've been in. So for example, you know, you could easily just start avoiding doing activities or going to certain places for fear and being reminded of when a seizure happened. And so that was quite a big challenge for me on a mental side, to be honest, also physical, because snowboarding is quite hard. I won't lie, I'm not very good at it. But you know, that was also one of the challenges. So yeah, that made me nervous, if I'm honest, probably the most nervous out of all of them. But you know, I was so proud of myself for pushing past that mental block that I'd had for it for so long, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. So I think I'm probably actually most proud of that one out of all of them.
Yeah, because we talk about on this podcast, we talk about people doing these extreme challenges, and for many that is extreme physical challenges, but for you had those extreme physical and mental challenges. So physically, were there any challenges that you were like, this is pushing me to my limit?
Yes, I think I did. So one of my challenges, again, it was doing the Brighton Half Marathon. Now, that was a physical challenge, and there's two reasons why this was hard. Again, it actually was a scenario I'd had previously when I wasn't diagnosed, that I had a seizure during a run. So I had a partial seizure during a run, didn't know that was happening. This is way back in 2010 or 11. And I'd obviously was always a bit nervous about running again. So the same sort of thing. So I was dealing with a mental thing, but also the physical side, because I wanted to hit a PB. And so I was pushing and pushing and pushing. I didn't quite get it and missed it by about 3 seconds. But the weather, if anyone did the Brighton half marathon in 2019, they'll tell you the weather was terrible. That was really hard. It was really hard. But I put that on myself, you know, to try and do it. But that was very difficult. I'd also say, you know, challenge wise, the long course weekend was so tough. I did that long course weekend. So essentially, just so you know, it's essentially a full distance triathlon split out over 3 days. And I think the difficulty was actually, you know, you were aching in between. So your body, unlike a full distance triathlon, you kind of have no time to think about going from, you know, you've got no time to think, oh, that swim was hard or that bike was difficult. You've kind of, whereas I had this downtime in between for my body to start aching, and then waking up in the morning going, oh, that was difficult. Now I've got to go on a however long bike ride and I've got to do it again. And I did it through the Yorkshire Dales on the bike, and there was like my first ridiculous incline on a hill. And I just kept thinking, I'm going to roll back down this if I'm not careful. This is so hard. And then I finally finished it with a marathon, and I'm still baffled now how I managed to run a marathon and I got a PB on a marathon. I've got no idea how, but that was probably the most physically challenging because of the time off in between each activity. Yeah, anyway, that was hard. That was very difficult physically and also mentally though.
And talking about that mental side of things, so with the snowboarding and the running, where you sort of were getting over that mental block of having had a seizure before doing it, but as well on the long course triathlon weekend, where you had to sort of get over the mental block to try and get up again and carry on each day. How did you get through that and sort of motivate yourself to keep going, especially when it comes thinking about the snowboarding and the running, where you sort of had that nervousness that you'd been in this situation before and had a seizure? Was there any sort of techniques you used to push past that?
I guess one of the things I do like to do, especially with big races, so, you know, well, like organized races. So for example, the Ironman 70.3 that I did as my last thing in December, I actually contacted the race organizers beforehand and actually let them know that I, obviously you fill out a medical form, and I let them know that I had epilepsy. I've met them on the day when I was getting all my registration stuff, and they said, we've let all the kayakers know, we've let all the people on the different spots, they know your number, they know to expect you. That removed some of the anxiety. But then I guess also I don't ever like to, not that I'm competitive or anything like that, I don't like to fail very much. So I think I'd be more, I kind of give myself, I sort of think I'm going to be more disappointed in myself if I stop. And I know I can do it. I'm strong. I've got this. I can do it. And I push on. But obviously, if along the way I wasn't feeling well, I'd always flag people. But I try and try my hardest to eliminate that as however I can. So letting race organisers know takes a bit of that doubt off now. And I didn't do that before. I was frightened of telling people because I thought they're going to tell me I can't race, I can't take part. But like I say, that's what I normally do, and that kind of helps with that.
And it all ended, was it in December of 2021 that with the slight COVID interruption, you managed to finish the 12th sort of challenge in December 2021. How was that? Not only going there to do it, but also complete it and realize that you'd finished what you'd set out to do.
Yes, oh my gosh, it was amazing. So we had entered, my husband and I, my husband's a triathlon coach, and he was helping me through the entire journey, giving me training plans and whatnot. But we'd entered, originally entered to do this Ironman 70.3 in April of, hang on, I'm losing my dates, 2020. So we'd planned, it was 2020. Yeah, so we'd planned 90, I'm losing track, but we'd planned to do this race and it got moved so many times. So we were going to be in Oceanside and then we were going to be in Santa Cruz. And so in the end, we picked the a race that we knew was as far away as possible, just in case that something, we got locked down again and couldn't go. And we wanted somewhere, that we could tie a holiday onto, to be quite honest. And where, California in December, the weather was always going to be good as well. And finally we got to do that race. And I think there was just, the borders had just opened up for us to go over to America. And it was, oh, I had the best time. I don't know if you've ever looked at them, but the Ironman race brand is just, there's no races quite like it. I've done triathlons before, but there was nothing quite like this. It was incredible, and it was such a well-organized race as well. And it was amazing just to be over there. There was sort of just relief that we could travel again. There was relief I was finally checking this off. Disbelief I was even there. It was just incredible for so many reasons, and I was so proud of myself for crossing that finish line. I'll have to share a photo with you, but my legs, I didn't think I was going to keep going, and I had a lot of doubt there that I was ever going to cross that finish line because it was so hot. I haven't got into this actually, but it was 31 degrees, and being British, we hadn't had that kind of weather. It was supposed to be 18 degrees, but it was 31. And that crossing that finish line, there's just the biggest smile across my face. And yeah, it was the best feeling ever. But it was so nice to be over there for so many reasons and finally check that last one off. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. And obviously, like a huge part of this from when you first received a diagnosis to coming up with the idea of doing the 12 and 12 to finishing it was to raise awareness of the condition of epilepsy and also to prove to yourself that you weren't going to let it define you or stop you from doing anything. So, looking back on these past couple of years and achieving what you have, do you feel you've achieved the sort of raising awareness aspect of what you wanted to do and also for yourself?
I think there is a lot more I can do in terms of talking about it, and I think it's taken me a bit of time to get confident to not be judged by it, because I hid it for quite a while because I couldn't explain it to people very well. And I think there's a lot more I can do, and I'll keep doing as much as I can and having the conversations as much as I can possibly do to keep raising awareness, to be honest. But I think, hopefully, I've shown people that you can still do things depending on how what works for your condition, but also people are seeing what I am doing, which is, I hope, well, it is, I hope it's helping basically, and hopefully they're sort of going, oh, this is the girl that's got epilepsy. Look what she's doing. But what how can she have this condition and still do this? And then asking questions, and then realizing there's more types of seizures and learning a little bit more. So kind of understanding that there's many levels to this condition, but it doesn't need to stop you.
And something we ask on this podcast is sort of advice or tips for people who are in situations where they would like to either fundraise or raise awareness for a different condition, for a different charity, for a different organization that means a lot to them. So we speak to people that are doing these crazy, extreme, long, hard to commit fundraisers or challenges. What advice would you have for someone who has listened to this podcast and is inspired to do something themselves, but perhaps might think, oh, I couldn't do it. Like, it's too hard. I wouldn't be able to achieve. I wouldn't be able to, I don't know, run a 5K, run a half marathon, cycle to Brighton. What would your advice be?
I guess if you're unsure of what you want to do, a lot of activities have sort of entry level or trial sort of things. For example, if I'm looking at triathlon specifically, if someone's interested in doing a triathlon for charity, for example, Triathlon England have an initiative called Go Try, which is essentially, as it sounds, go try a triathlon out. So it's in a more enclosed environment. So they tend to be in leisure centres. So you'll try it out in a pool, then go on the bike, and then it'll be running in a leisure centre, for example. So it gives you a bit of a taster. And I think that that's a great way to see if that's sort of something that you might quite like. And then with triathlon, there's different distances. So you don't necessarily need to go, I'm going to go from nothing to an Ironman. You can try and build up to a distance. So there's sprint triathlons, Olympic distance, there's different kinds as well. So there's a lot out there that you can try. So doing a little bit of research as well is important. But definitely, with running, if you're unsure about running, like park run is fantastic. You can go and, go and try them out first. And I think that's sort of, you've got to enjoy it. So you need to make sure you enjoy it before you commit to something. So go and give a smaller distance or a smaller thing a go, and then decide from there. That's probably one of my biggest advice, really.
And say someone is committed to, that's really interesting actually about the triathlon, because when you think of triathlon, I mean, for me, I just think, oh, I wouldn't be able to swim more than, I don't know, 10 meters. I'd find the swim really hard. But knowing you could do the small parts of it is might be more appealing to people who want to give it a go. Once someone has committed, what would be your advice on the mental side of things to keep going and stay positive and commit to something?
I find actually training with other people. So rope your friends in to kind of join you on your journey. Yes, it might be you doing the challenge in the end, but I honestly think it's lovely and far more enjoyable to have that social side of things. So for example, I joined a running club because I liked the idea of being social on my runs, and I think that's how I got through the mental barrier, because when it's just you, it's sometimes very difficult to sometimes feel motivated. We're human, we don't always feel motivated to keep pushing yourself through the training sessions. So I think you have got to have an element of fun in there, otherwise it's not going to be nice at all. So I mean, I really enjoy training with other people, so that would be my best advice, is find people that want to join you throughout your journey, and find other people on. You'll find that many people, I think on Instagram, it's quite easy to find other people who are doing challenges and chat to them. Have they got any advice? How are they getting on? And just connecting with people, I think, is a huge, huge part of it.
No, definitely. And it's like I said, that's something that comes up a lot. Like, doing things in isolation is much harder than doing things when you've got that support network around you.
Yes, definitely. I think, especially with a challenge, you can become tired, which makes you feel like, oh, I don't want to do this today, but you've got this challenge. So it can be, that's one of the hardest things, like, back-to-back training sessions, or whether you've got to do a run today and a swim later, and it's that mental block of thinking, I'm so tired, I don't want to do it. But if you've got a friend, or you can reach out to somebody to go, oh, I'm having a bad day today, any advice? And it's just having that connection to speak to somebody else, I think, is really important.
Yeah, definitely. Now, one of the questions we ask everyone that comes on this podcast, it's called Defiant Optimism. What does the phrase Defiant Optimism mean to you when you hear it?
So for me, and if we're looking at my challenges as I've done them, it would definitely be mental strength, I think, because I don't think I could have done that. I don't think I would be sitting here, and I've completed my 12 challenges without it. So mental strength to be able to sort of talk yourself round to completing them, which I've had to do many a times in all those challenges go, there's that doubt that sets in and you think, I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm never going to cross this finish line, or I'm not going to complete this, and I'm going to let myself down. And then all of a sudden, this powerful mindset will like set in. It's like, no, you can do it. And I guess, yeah, so the mental strength is the one.
Definitely. And using that mental strength going forward, what is next for you? Do you have anything else on the agenda that you're going to be doing? Any other races?
Yes, I do actually. I've got you're going to laugh because even I laughed when I got a spot. So I have got a couple of triathlons. So I've decided, firstly, I've decided to redo my December race. So the one I did in California, I've re-entered for next year to avenge that run. So I've decided to go back and do some. So just I kind of almost assume it's going to be 31 degrees and do some heat training in advance, so I can go and enjoy it. And I do you know what, the atmosphere was amazing, so and I get to go to California again, so so any excuse. So I'm doing that one again in December, but the big one is in June, and I got a ballot spot for Escape from Alcatraz triathlon, so in San Francisco, back to California again. And it is one of the hardest triathlons because the swim is notoriously bad. So you have to jump off a boat. There we go. I'll leave it at that and then swim back to shore. So that one's my big one. But I got a ballot spot. Me and my husband had both entered, and we both made a pact that if one of us got it, we had to enter. And it just so happened that I got a spot. So I drew the short straw. And so it's me who's doing it.
Where can people go to follow you and sort of follow your journey into the your next triathlons?
So yeah, it's so my Instagram is it's Annie Bean, so you can follow me on there. And I also have a blog called talesofanniebean.com, and I'll be documenting my crazy journey to do this Escape from Alcatraz triathlon. So yes, you can follow me on there.
Lovely. Well, good luck, a massive good luck from us. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We will be dropping links to Annie's blog and Instagram below. But thank you all for listening. And thank you, Annie, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been lovely to speak to you.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Defiant Optimism. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, rate, and share it with someone else who may need a little inspiration in their lives. Or if you're looking for more positivity, head to our website, smileymovement.org, to get your daily dose of smiley news. Or you can find out more about our solutions-focused live events, Smiley Talks. Thanks for listening.